You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome to Sunday School Dropouts, the podcast where an ex-Christian and a non-believing sort of Jew read all the way through the Bible for the first time. I'm Lauren O'Neill.
And I'm Nico Bakulich.
And let's get biblical.
Let's.
But before we do, I will introduce myself as the ex-Christian. I was raised Presbyterian. I'm now an atheist. And I'm reading the New International Version of the Bible.
And I'm the non-believing sort of Jew, and I'm reading the NRSV, New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Also, this is not a Bible study podcast.
Also, it's not for children, and it may contain objectionable content.
Objectionable to whom?
To, like, any human.
Right-minded, red-blooded Americans?
To any person who doesn't like violence and sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we have a guest in the studio today. I would like to introduce my friend Michelle Sutherland. She is a visual artist and director. Her play, Gertrude Stein's Saints, got 5 stars in the New York Times.
All the stars.
And it's
sitting at a solid 4.5 on Yelp.
And she is here to talk about the Book of Lamentations with us. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about your religious background?
Yep. I was raised Catholic and pretty, like, more cultural than religious, I guess. You know, like, I was raised in, like, a Mexican-American family, and, like, Catholic ritual was really important.
Mm-hmm.
All the dresses and the incense and Easter and tequila and stuff, like, all that stuff.
The traditional Easter tequila.
Communion tequila.
Exactly. Burn the pig, like, bury the pig in the backyard, have the party.
A luau, of
yes.
course.
Obviously.
The standard Catholic luau.
Yeah.
You know. Everyone knows. All right. I'm going to give some fast facts about the Book of Lamentations. The Hebrew name is Echa, which means how, because it starts, the first word of the book is how.
I assume that's got like 90 exclamation points and question marks after
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's also called Kinot, which means, like, you know, laments.
That's,
or like,
delicious superfood. I've heard of it before.
Yeah. Lamentations are quite delicious.
Secret of the Andes.
I'm not sure where you're going with that. Oh, you're talking about quinoa. Oh, got it. It's ascribed to Jeremiah, who almost certainly did not actually write them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very short book. It's just 5 chapters. There are 5 poems. And the first 4 are alphabet acrostics. So the first line of the poem starts with the Hebrew letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Second one starts with Bet, then Gimel, and so on and so on. The 5th poem has 22 lines to correspond with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, but it doesn't have any alphabetical. It doesn't start with the right letters or anything.
It doesn't have any alphabetical power to it.
Yeah. It's about, you know, Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem, which you have heard a lot about if you've listened to some of our more recent episodes. And if you haven't, then it doesn't really matter. All you need to know is Babylon took over Judah and destroyed Jerusalem. And
now, Michelle, I have to ask.
Yeah.
Have you read much Bible before?
No.
No,
like
how
not
much?
At all.
Like not at all.
I mean, I had catechism class, so uh-huh. I think I must have read something there. But I also was just like doodling
in
my
book. Catechism is like not the Bible.
Oh yeah, see, I wouldn't even know.
Like, I mean, they might include Bible verses.
Not
in
paying
it.
Attention in school since like second grade.
But like the weird thing about Catholics versus Protestants is like Catholics are like all catechism, and then Protestants are like all Bible.
What's catechism though?
It's like the like. Things, it's like a recitation of the things you're supposed to believe or whatever.
Oh.
I mean, that's probably like a really like imprecise definition. But like there's a Protestant, like there's a Presbyterian catechism. I have no idea what's in it because I never studied it.
Go for it.
What are your initial impressions?
Well, I was really excited when I first started reading it because I started reading it at Burning Man, and like the first line is how deserted lies the city once so full of people, you know, and it's like you get there the first day and they're building the city, you know, everyone's bringing their stuff in and everyone's building it, and you know that like 7 days later it's going to all come down again, you know, so I was really.
It's going to be dust. Again.
Just dust, yeah. And also there's a temple, you know, in the center, and it's like, it's a really ritualistic.
Yeah.
What sort of temple?
It's a temple.
Well, they build a new one every year.
Yeah, but they like burn it.
What goes on in it?
People bring, you know, things to the temple. So there's a lot of like photographs of people who have passed. There's poetry. You know, it becomes just this mourning site, really, a place where people cry. And it's the last thing that's burnt on the playa. So on Sunday night, they burn it. And, you know, people are crying, weeping. It's beautiful. It's like so beautiful to see something so huge burn to the ground with like thousands of people surrounding this, you know.
It's like perfect for Lamentations.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous, and like kind of like connecting these two things, you know, along the course of the week, like reading this and like being there. It was like a really interesting process. But then as I read, you know, more Lamentations, it got a little confusing, you know. Like the first part, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so beautiful. Also, Lamentations, singing, mourning, ritual. The importance of those things, you know, I felt really strongly connected to it, but then it gets so judgy, you know, like, and then I was like, wait, what do these people even freaking do? Like, where's the party? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I thought this was supposed to be a party of tears. Like,
and then you started reading the Bible, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, shit. This
We've
is
all had
not...
that moment reading the Bible where you realize, wait, where's the party?
You know what I mean? I mean, what are we doing
I've
here?
I've been misled about this my whole life.
So actually, this is... Lamentations is the text that you read for the Jewish holiday of Tisha B'Av, which is like the day of mourning.
Right. And that's like right around this time, right?
Yeah. It happens in August. Has it
been a year already?
It's Tisha B'Av again. We're like less than a month past it as we record this. And I didn't really know anything about this holiday until I started researching. It's like just basically a day of mourning for all the bad things that have happened to Jews over the centuries. So like, actually, I forget what the first one is. There's like an old one. There's like something from like Moses times. But then the second thing that's mourned is the destruction of the temple, which is what the Lamentations is about. And then like the second destruction of the temple and like Roman persecution of the Jews. And so like so on and so forth. And then people add in like more modern stuff. So like, some people add in like the Holocaust, and some people have created like new like lamentation style poems about the Holocaust or about like pogroms in Russia or whatever.
Sure.
I don't want to get any more specific than that because I think I'll start getting things wrong. But that's the general gist of Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av just means like the ninth of the month Av, like the Jewish month Av. And my Bible also says that Catholics... Another weird thing about
Catholics.
Oh
my God, the glance that you gave her.
I know,
when
like,
she
I mean,
that.
Excuse me. Hey.
Read from Lamentations during Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Easter, which is super interesting. I've never heard of that. Like, in my experience leading up to Easter week, it's definitely all like New Testament stuff. You know, it's like about Jesus.
Yeah.
But this is like from way before Jesus. And I don't know. It's interesting because in our last couple episodes, Isaiah and Jeremiah, the destruction of Jerusalem is like conceived of as the end of the world, you know, and then like a Messiah is going to come and fix it. And so it's interesting that like that's sort of connected to Holy Week in that way retroactively.
That's true. Although there's none of that messianic language in this.
In this. No, not at all. But it's interesting that, I don't know, the Catholics do that.
They got like one book close to it?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that they like in some way connected this like...
The fall of the temple with the death of Jesus?
Yeah.
Mm. But you know, something I was thinking about was like, you know, in terms of like this morning, like... Because when I'm reading this, it's like I'm like reading a lot of responsibility into it. Like people need to take responsibility for their actions. Mm-hmm. And then like when I hear you talk about like, you know, what going to the ceremony is like now, it's like looking back at like what has happened to Jews, mm-hmm. right? So that's a very different way of looking at this.
I actually think that's like the most interesting thing about this book is how it constantly like is shifting blame around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how it's like, sometimes the blame is on, like, the Jewish people. Sometimes the blame is on God. Sometimes the blame is on foreigners. And mm-hmm. it just keeps shifting.
Yeah.
So, like, on that note, should we get into it?
Yes.
All right. Nico, do you want to start us off?
The basic structure of these lamentations is similar, although the tone varies from lament to lament. The basic idea is that, like, somebody is talking about how Jerusalem has fallen.
Somebody's talking. Somebody's always talking.
Somebody's always talking. Somebody's always talking about how Jerusalem has fallen and what a shame it is and what a sorry state its people are in. And sometimes they are bemoaning the fact that God doesn't listen to the lamentations. Sometimes they're asking for forgiveness. Sometimes they're just sort of like describing in detail what it's like when a city falls and stuff like that. The first one brings back something that was present in previous prophecies that describes Israel as basically as a woman,
mm-hmm.
but with a fair dollop of sexual menace popped on top of
yes.
it.
Yes.
For example, her uncleanness was in her skirts, and enemies have stretched out their hands over all her precious things.
Oof.
That's,
yeah.
That's like at the lowest you can fall is a woman who is unclean and has been...
Living life.
Yeah, I mean, like, the destruction is definitely figured as, like, sexual violation. I wrote down, all who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the, like, blame shifting starts right there, where it's kind of like she deserved it for being so slutty.
A little bit. And in this,
but then also it's like she's been deeply violated.
Yeah. And in this first lamentation, I made a special note because I was like, wow, they are not talking about whose fault this is at all. Even though, based on the story so far, it's essentially Israel's fault. They strayed from God, basically, and worshipped idols and didn't hold the covenants properly.
Yeah.
And because of that, Jerusalem fell and the temple was destroyed.
Yes. So, Michelle, this is something you may not know, but the main story of the Bible is about the Israelites worshipping idols, worshipping all the other gods, like Sumerian gods, Egyptian gods, whatever, mm-hmm. and then getting punished for it. That's mm-hmm. like the main point of the Bible this far.
Okay.
It's like we've read, I don't know, 1,500 pages, and that's been like, it's just over
that's
and
been
over.
The main story.
Yeah. And so, like, in real life, Babylon took over the kingdom of Judah. And in the Bible, it's because they kept worshipping idols.
And so God used Babylon as a tool to bring Israel low
yeah.
because of their disrespect of him.
So victim blaming.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
But also like...
It's old. It's as old as the Old Testament.
It is. I have in the first poem, I have like verse 18, the Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19, I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and elders perished in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like immediately, like the next line is like, it was my fault I rebelled. But shouldn't the priests and elders really have been in charge here? Shouldn't they have been telling me the right stuff to do?
Yeah, I mean, the question of responsibility is so interesting in this text, you know, and like in life in general, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, you know, that was something that like my big takeaway from Burning Man actually was this like idea of responsibility. Like you come to the party and you get what you give. You know what I mean? Like you just you have to show up if you want to see something new. You know what I mean? If you want to see something happen at the party, then bring something to the party. Don't just sit outside and expect that somebody else will be you. You know what I mean? And so that question of like, what are you bringing is strong in that environment, you know? And I think that's kind of like what's going on in this on some level. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you bringing to this culture? You know, and like these people are bringing, I guess, obviously God thinks like bullshit or something. So. So they have to like bring something new, you know?
I think that God thinks like bullshit or something is like a pretty good like summation of the Bible.
Yes. Like God like is not happy right now. So. But we don't really know why. So.
The tone changes slightly when it moves to the second poem, though.
How so?
Well, so the first one is really sad. It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. My heart is broken. I'm lying in the dirt on the ground. My nation is in ashes around me. The second poem is a little angrier. It's like, God has left us in our time of need. Like, how hard did we need to pray to like make this work?
Yeah, the Lord has made Zion forget her appointed feasts and her Sabbaths. It's like... Yeah, we didn't worship God, but it's because God made us do it wrong.
Yeah.
The narrator acts. Do you know who you did this to God? And I mean, implying that like you should never like how could you harm your favored people? Like
oh
this?
Yeah, I have. Whom have you ever treated like this?
Yeah.
Should women eat their offspring?
Well, no. Obviously not.
The children they have cared for. Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? I mean, no.
No, but also God did literally tell you a long time ago in some very important books that
and over and over again.
If you broke the covenant, your country would be turned to ash, children would eat their mothers, and
mothers
vice versa.
Mothers would eat their children.
Yeah. I guess that's
children's
the
children would never eat candy. Their mothers.
But he did, like, all of the stuff that is here in the Lamentation, it's very consciously done so, was in earlier covenants that was like, if you break my laws, this is what you're going to get. And I guess it's just, is it supposed to expose the ignorance of the lamenter in a certain kind of way that he doesn't know that?
I don't know, because I think this was probably, like, these poems were probably composed around the time that this actually happened, or, like, shortly after. That like Jerusalem was.
I thought they were
destroyed.
Post-exilic.
Are they?
I thought so, but I don't know.
Well, even if they're post-exilic, these are people trying to make sense of a huge military defeat. We know that they didn't have they didn't have the Bible as it is now,
right?
So they may not have had at the time like the exact narrative that we're reading now, where it's like, yeah, God told you to do this. And then you fucked up. And no, God told you to do this, and you fucked up.
That's absolutely true. But, like, some of these covenant rules that they broke are in, like, Deuteronomy.
Right, but, like, I don't know if they had, if everyone had access to Deuteronomy. Remember, King Josiah rediscovered the Torah.
In, like, a secret room in the temple.
In the temple. Yeah. And, like, we had Josiah, like, he's, like, the fifth to last king. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know. So they may not have, like, a super strong tradition with the Torah yet. I don't know.
No, but you're right that it does work better on a human scale where it's about in an individual and a community like processing unimaginable pain.
Right. And I think like that's the thing is like processing, like grief is confusing. And there's so much anger and grief, and anger is
contradiction.
Totally going all over the place, you know what I mean? At yourself, at other people. I mean, it just makes no fucking sense, you know? So in that way, like, this starts to kind of, like, take on new meaning for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm like, okay, I can handle this totally multi-directed, like, what? Like, are we in a city or is this a guy or, like, who's mad at who? You know, that confusion kind of, like, becomes almost performative.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this becomes, like, somehow performative for me right now.
Like, I'm also thinking about, like, the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
About how there's like denial and bargaining and everything. And that's kind of like what's happening here. Like the way they shift the blame, you know, it's like, well, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
Okay. It was like really my fault, but I confessed to it. So please forgive me.
Yeah.
But it was actually your fault, you know, like.
And it's like, I guess that's why it's still read every year, you know what I mean? Because in the reading of it, it's you perform it.
Uh-huh.
And in the performance, you step into that confusion and that grief.
Yeah.
It's such an important ritual. I actually met a woman about a month ago. She told me about this. It's so funny how it's all kind of lining up, you know, because I never heard about this ritual that happens in August. And then I met this woman. She told me about it. I was like, oh, man, I'd really love to go to that. But then I couldn't go because it was like this whole Burning Man thing was like taking over my life and shit. But then I go to Burning Man and it becomes a mourning thing on some level. And I'm talking – so this – it's an important thing. And also to see, like, you know, to be at Burning Man, there's 70 fucking thousand people there. And, like, everyone is going through something. And it's visible on this temple wall. You see that everyone has lost somebody. Everyone is grieving. Everyone is confused. Everyone has got something going on that is not making sense. And that is painful, you know. So it's kind of like – and you're partying and dancing with them. So it's lovely in this way, you know. So I'd love to go to this Jewish one too, just to like see how this is like this text like is performative too,
yeah.
You know.
Just see how good the party is.
Yeah, exactly. Like it better be fun though.
There but you have be, to like dancing. No, because... You have to like fast though.
Oh,
and you can't have sex and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
I could definitely fast, but but the sex part would be harder.
So this poem brings back some of my favorite old-timey Old Testament imagery, like people opening their mouths against other people. In Lamentations 2:16, all your enemies open their mouths against you. They hiss, they gnash their teeth. They cry, we have devoured her. All this is the day we longed for. At last we have seen it. I like that. I like everybody opening their mouths. Like that's like an animalistic thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the idea of like all of Israel's enemies surrounding her with their mouths open and teeth bared, you know?
I also wrote down one that reminded me of, like, I think in Psalms we, like, had some good verses where, like, God made, like, the earth move like an animal, yeah. And stuff. Like that.
Made the earth move under his feet.
No, he made ramparts and walls lament.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem's gates have sunk into the ground. Yeah, just like the idea.
It's like even the city is in grieving.
Yeah, the walls lament. Do you have any more quotes from chapters 1 or 2?
No. Unless.
Oh, I do have one. This is going back to chapter 1. May you bring the day you have announced, so my enemies may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Mm-hmm. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins.
I like that because, I mean, God did promise that as well. He says, even as I bring you low, know that I will
raise you back up because you're my chosen people.
And I will exact this revenge on everybody that I use to exact my vengeance on you.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm not sure that that's the best order of operations for this. But...
And it's so like petty,
it
right?
Is.
It's so... It's
oh my
like
God, yes.
Giving
like
God...
God is like Prince, like the fucking eye roller. Like,
yeah.
God, vengeance, you know.
It's like giving God like these very like petty human motivations, you know?
Mm.
I mean, we always talk about like Greek gods that way. And we say like that's different from like the Bible God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we've seen so many instances in the Old Testament of God having these weird petty
human
motivations.
That is so true. Like we should read this God as like a Zeus, you know, a Zeus character who's just like always getting into shit, you know what I mean? Where you're like, oh my God, like seriously, this is what like... Ego.
Because
there you get the sense in this, you know what I mean? That there's like an ego at play.
Absolutely.
Is wanting to be served in a very specific way. And if you like, if he's
that's
not
his whole
being
thing.
Served in a specific way, then out.
Yeah. Well, to find the answer to that and several other questions.
And all of life's difficult questions.
We're going to go find them. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to go find some answers for y'all. And then we'll be right back.
Spoiler alert, we'll find no answers.
But we will find white wine.
Michelle, when I asked her about what kind of white wine she wanted, she said cold. So we're going to get some cold ass wine.
Yes, ice in your white wine.
And then
summer.
We're going to come back and keep talking about Lamentations.
We'll be back in a second. Okay, bye.
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 Welcome back to Sunday School Dropouts. I'm Nico.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're here with Michelle Sutherland.
Yep, Michelle Sutherland.
Yes, we all. We suddenly all. You know we are when we're slurring our words. That's how we know.
We've had a little too much white wine. And we're here with Michelle Sutherland. And we're talking about the Book of Lamentations.
We are. And we were talking about Lamentations. We were talking about performance. We were talking about having a good time.
Talking about where's the party.
We were talking about where's the party. WTP.
You know? Yeah, and WTP.
Hashtag.
Yes.
Hashtag WTP.
Hashtag
Bible. Hashtag Lamentation. Like where, I mean, I thought this was like music and stuff.
Okay, enough.
You know?
Enough. I was in the middle of a sentence. And that sentence continues as such. And we thought it might be fun to try and do some laments of our own because, hey, everybody's got shit going on in their life. As you said, each one of those 70,000 people has been through something. And maybe we collectively can lament in a good way. So anytime somebody says these magic words, it's time to lament. And the magic words are, for these things I weep.
For these things I weep.
I thought you were going to be like, these magic words. It's time to lament.
I know, I was like, I can remember
hey,
that.
Hey, it's time to lament. Hey. Go.
And I say, these magic words, dicks out for Harambe.
Yes.
All right, so.
WTP.
Then if someone says those, we're going to try and do an improvised lamentation, one word per person. Well, one word at a time per person. So, for example, oh,
whale.
You.
Sinners.
Let.
My
people
flow.
Amen.
Amen. Let my people flow.
Yes. Let my people flow. Yes. L.
Is that like a M? Like a Jewish tampon ad?
I was thinking that could be like the diva cup. Like let my people flow.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. So the third poem. Chapter 3. I have like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. God dragged me from the path and mangled me. Pretty harsh.
Whoa.
I mean, he did. He did. But the describing, I feel like a lot of snakiness to God.
Yeah, it's like they're simultaneously mad at themselves for sinning and at God for punishing them for
absolutely
their sins.
And it's very hard to untangle those emotions.
Yeah, because like when you make a mistake in life, which people do,
which I've never done.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
You'll have
it's
to speak
like
from your
you
own
want
experience.
You want to be able to forgive yourself, right? It's like you need to do that, but if you have like guilt or shame or something, which I think a lot of people do, you know, when they make a mistake, like you're like, somebody help me, Jesus, and then God just hits you with a bear claw, you know.
I hope that's the pastry.
A very
the bear claw.
Sugary bear claw.
Yeah. He hits you with a delicious donut.
Hey, G-Man.
Because actually,
claw.
God can't really do anything, right? I mean, don't you have to just do it yourself? I don't know. What is this thing about?
I mean, in real life, no, God can't do anything because he doesn't exist. In the Bible, he can do a lot of shit.
It's complicated.
I want to think of God as like being like not this aggressive, like smacking you around. But I guess actually that is probably what God is though, right?
I'm remembering when we graduated from college and we were going to a lot of like graduation parties and drinking a lot. And yes. You were like, I promised God
after all this, I'm going to like live real clean and like do yoga and shit. Still trying to do that. You know what I mean? Oh, well, I have gone to the gym.
Okay. In the like several years since we graduated
college. We've graduated, I have gone to the gym. I did try yoga.
Yoga to the people.
Yeah. Really, partying is more my way, you know, of celebrating. Like, seriously, like, you can celebrate life in a lot of ways, you know? And you can do yoga if you want. You can also just, like, dance on the dance floor and hurrah.
Yes. But I liked your idea of God is just, like, you're, like, better, like, your conscience. Like, just, like, your super ego, you know? Like, he's just going to tell you, like, what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You may or may not. You know, you may or may not make it there.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I'm drinking right now, but I promised God I'm going to do yoga after. So like, it's cool.
So it'll be fine. And God is cool with it. He's like, after could mean many things.
Yeah, he's like whatever. He's like, just as long as you get the yoga in.
I have a different kind of God. Like these people, their God is like real tough. I would not have survived this. I would have been one of the dead people. Like, oh.
Yeah, you would have been like eating your children.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of on that note, I wrote down the quote, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Mm-hmm. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. The idea that it's good for people to suffer when they're young because it teaches them something.
That there is a chance that they could be brought back up again.
Yeah. And that, like, in the service of God.
Yeah.
Although I did find it interesting that it's like offer his cheek to one who would strike him. I mean, I know we've encountered that before, like the turn the other cheek, which is generally thought of as like something Jesus said in the New Testament.
But he was quoting the Old Testament.
Right. Mm. But it is interesting that, I don't know, just as I've said before in previous episodes, I'm learning that the divide between the Old Testament and the New Testament is not as concrete as I thought.
For these things I weep.
Why?
Relief.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Why relief?
In the vein of what you were saying, Lauren, for the Lord will not reject forever. This poem starts with a Job-like anger, but then eventually comes to a place where it can accept that there's hope, you know, that like out of the ashes, you know, seedlings will sprout or whatever. There's also a very or seemingly pretty straightforward admission of guilt. We have transgressed and rebelled and you have not forgiven.
Wow. That isn't simple. That's like so complicated because it's like.
That is pretty complicated.
It puts blame on both of them simultaneously, you know.
That his role is to forgive.
Yeah.
Even when we transgress.
Yeah.
And he,
I also have, God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Which I feel like it's just a person's justification for it. Like they couldn't imagine a world in which he did it intentionally.
But then like a few verses later, there's also who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it. So it's like, who has the power here? It's like, God doesn't do something willingly. Meaning like humans are forcing him to, but humans can't do anything unless God forces them to, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like they don't have any answers at all.
It's almost like God I mean, doesn't it's exist almost and like, humanity you know, is like very difficult to deal with.
Yeah, humanity, forgiveness, like what is it? You know what I mean? And how do you, like how?
And how?
Forgiveness, how? Isn't that the beginning word of this, how?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, how. I love that. My friend told me, like, the first word of this is how. And I was like, whoa, this is going to be awesome. Like, I am stoked. Because how do you forgive? You know what I mean? How do you forgive yourself?
I don't know. I don't think anybody here knows.
I mean, maybe God has to, like, maybe this whole thing is like God has to, you know, hit you with the bear claw. Like, all this shit has to happen, right? So that just to kind of bring you down or to this place. Because forgiveness is a thing. It's like it's a road that has to be traveled. It's humanity. It is part of humanity.
That
you know?
Is actually like a big part of the narrative is that it's like God is going to bring Israel down, but then he's going to raise them back up. That's like
yeah,
a big part of the biblical narrative.
But the next poem takes us on a pretty serious journey of its own.
It does. It has some really great slash terrible images of like descriptions of the ruined city.
This is like
descriptions.
Descriptions. This is Jerusalem under siege by the Babylonians. So this is like when Judah is starving, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, Jerusalem in particular.
Jerusalem in particular,
like,
yeah.
The city is under siege, so it's on lockdown. They can't get any food in or out, yeah. Et cetera.
And the progress of the siege is expressed in a long-running metaphor through the poem of the loss of color. Did you track that?
Not as such, but now that I look at my notes, that does, like, I can see that in my notes.
Like, the vibrant past whenever there was food and people were alive, and people who were born and raised in purple, for example, is a line from there.
Literally meaning people like royalty.
Royalty.
That's then, beautiful. The loss of color.
That's and the increase of heat.
I have the sacred gems are scattered at the head of every street.
Mm-hmm.
Which like gems are colorful. Hey guys, gems, they're colorful. I also have the princes were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. Their bodies more ruddy than rubies. Now they are blacker than soot. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become dry as a stick.
There you go. What was once vibrant and colorful is now blackened and shriveled.
I also have that the prophets and priests are so defiled with blood that no one dares to touch their garments. It's pretty defiled with blood.
I mean, on the scale of defilement, yeah, that's like a solid six.
I also have, my people have become heartless like ostriches in the desert.
Yeah. I wrote down that exact line as well.
What did ostriches ever do to this
Have you ever run
sky?
Into an ostrich in the desert?
I have not. Have you?
You know how I can tell that you've never run into an ostrich in the desert?
How?
You're alive to tell about it.
Actually, you witnessed some ostriches racing, right?
I have seen ostrich races, yes.
Did they seem especially heartless?
No, but they're apparently quite ornery.
Well, that's kind of heartless.
Yes.
Michelle, have you ever experienced ostriches in
person? I did meet some, but nothing happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing happened?
No. They didn't chase
what
me
What happened
or
with
anything.
Them?
We just looked at each other, you know, like, hey.
Nice.
Yeah, party.
You asked them where the party was.
I was like, where's the party? Would you like some ice and your white wine?
Some white wine.
Yeah.
They were like, sweet, thanks.
Yeah. We did not have any sort of aggressive moments.
I also have, because of thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of its mouth.
It's brutal. Brutal stuff.
I mean, that's a fucking infant. You know what I mean? Like, no, God, no. Also, not an infant. It's like a movie. You know what I mean? Like, don't kill the fucking babies. You know, I hate that about movies sometimes. You know, it's like they kill the kid. Like what are you trying to do? This is your big challenge to society is to kill a child in a movie? What a jerk.
Yo, they
Probably
were,
a guy wrote that. You
they
know what
were
I mean?
Like, cannibalizing these kids. That's like, that is a theme we've seen more than once in the Bible, is that like when a city is under siege, they can't get food in, they start eating
the babies.
The kids. They start eating the babies.
And the reason they know it's an inversion of the natural order is because of instead of the mother feeding the child feeds the mother.
That's fucked up.
I don't like it.
It's fucked up.
Well, Hollywood has at least learned its lesson about animals. No animals ever die in movies anymore.
That's not true.
Well, no dogs.
That's not true. The dogs die extremely tragically. I cry. Everyone learns a lesson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All those dog movies. There's always one of the pups, you know what I mean? It's just like, he gets it. And it's like, why?
He
was just a good
crazy.
Little guy.
He was just a good boy.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to die.
All right.
What if we were like Lamentations like right now? It would be just like this and like 1,000 years later, or however many thousands of years. It's like people would be like pups. Like what are they talking about? Like puppies? I mean,
we should do.
I know what a pupper is.
Yeah.
Okay. For these things we weep. Dogs
become
ash
in
those
mouths.
Of
failed
noblemen.
Oh, amen.
Amen. That was a good one. That was a good lament. We should make a song out of that.
dogs become ashes.
Well, let's try again. Or maybe not.
I also have...
Let's move on to the fifth poem.
Okay. Oh, wait. No, I have one more thing. That the land of Edom should rejoice and be glad because Judah has been destroyed. But to you also the cup will be passed. You will be drunk and stripped naked.
That's right.
So it's, yeah, I don't know, just more of that like, yeah, we sinned, but everyone else sinned too, and everyone else is going to get
it. And also, is being drunk and naked a bad thing? Like, oh, yeah. I mean, that's... Oh, yeah.
In this part of the Bible, very much so.
It is?
In Song of Songs, no.
Oh, Song of Songs. I need to read that one.
Yeah, so you might like that one.
Yeah, I would. Okay, I already know. I already like it.
That one's like that one all about wine and nakedness.
It includes the information about where the party is.
Yeah, it tells you where to go.
Yeah, in the Bible, if you want to know where the party's at, it's in Song of Songs.
Like, oh, if you asked any of these dudes, if you asked Ezekiel, asked Isaiah or whatever, where the party was, they'd probably tell you Song of Songs.
Yeah, and then they tell you like... die because you're a slutty woman and your vagina.
So
evil.
Song of Songs is the beginning of like Lamentations, basically. It's Song like, of Songs and here is like begins the end.
The only part where it's like it's okay for women to have sex. Oh. Everything else is just like
they really don't like women that much.
We're
like used as a symbol for something.
Except Song of Songs.
I mean everything.
Yeah. okay, last chapter.
Yeah, the last poem Chapter is a little five. Different. The last poem is all about penitence. It's about, like, trying to make it right, you know? Like, they're trying hard. They know they fucked up, but they want to make it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Sort of.
It's not all about that, but it has more of that vibe to it than the previous ones did, which were full of, like, anger and invective against an uncaring God.
Yeah. I wrote down... Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. So it's like, we've already seen, like, we're supposed to be past the sins of the father thing. Like, we're supposed to be, God has declared that he's not going to punish people for the sins of their fathers. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we're never really done with it, it seems like.
That's true, but I also think that whoever says that is misguided. Again, they're trying to displace blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in, as we learned in the last book, even in the last days of the siege, they were offered an opportunity to get right with God, basically, when he told them to get rid of all of, when Jeremiah told them to get rid of all of their Jewish slaves, and disobeyed.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not just their father's generation. It's them too. But at least they accept it. At least they like...
This is them not accepting it, though, isn't it? Like,
I mean, in a way, yeah.
I mean, they simultaneously accept and don't accept it.
Right.
Which is, like, how fucking grief works.
Yeah.
I also wrote down the line, we must buy the water we drink. How do you feel about that, having just returned from Burning Man, Michelle?
You do have to bring your own water. People will give you all the alcohol in the world, but if you're ever like, I need water, people are just like smacking you, like, take care of yourself. Read the Burning Man guide. I mean, it's just like, okay, I legitimately, and at the end of the fucking party, of course, there's like legitimately thousands of gallons of water that nobody ever drank. You know what I mean? It's like, you really did not have to be like that. I mean, the idea is like, you know, take care of yourself, you know? So it's like, I get it, but I mean, that's a lame party. Like, if you're drunk and you need water, somebody should give it to you. I did bring my own water, though. But on the last day, I lost my water pack thing. I left it.
I don't know what a water pack thing
is. It's like it has a, because, you know, you go out.
I don't even want to know. I just always want to live.
You just need water.
In a city, I just always want to be able to turn on the faucet.
I know.
I don't ever
There's
wanna.
No faucets.
Hmm. I don't
At least
go.
Not where you think.
Exactly.
So it sounds like we were almost there, but I think it's time to rate this book.
Okay, but first let's do one more lamentation.
Okay.
Yes.
For these things we weep when
elders
fell
on
the
sand.
We
young
men
tried
music.
Amen.
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 All right, let's rate this book.
Okay. Michelle, as the guest of honor, do you want to give your rating first?
Yes, I'll give my rating. I rate this 1,000 tears in a sea of confusion.
Perfect. Would you care to elaborate on that?
No need.
Okay.
I think it's fairly spoken.
It's a poem.
What about you, Lauren?
I think I'm going to give it, I don't know.
No, you have to give it a specific thing. That's the deal.
7 out of 9 bear claws.
Seven out of nine bear claws.
Yes.
Because I think it's, well, first of all, it's short, which I'm always thankful for. I just think, like, it's poetry that is grappling with the issue of, like, blame mm-hmm. and the feeling of grief in ways that are really, like, multivalent. Like, it's not just, like, simplified mm-hmm. and made to seem very simple and, like, anyone should be able to understand it and follow God. Like, it's presented as something really complex and confusing, and I appreciate that. How about you?
I would give it 6 out of 8 holy acrostics for pretty much the same reason. I like the poetry is very nice. It's done from a human perspective, which I like very much, that it's about people trying to deal with problems, trying to deal with feelings and situations that, even though these are a little exaggerated in terms of our own personal lives. I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Michelle, but I've never been through a siege personally.
I have.
But even though the circumstances are a bit exaggerated, like you said, grappling with blame or grappling with the sense of responsibility or trying to find meaning in pain or in negative feelings, that is like an honest human struggle. And this seems to be poetry that embraces the complexity of that struggle and approaches it in a pretty wise way, even if the wisdom is just in the contradiction, like mm-hmm. it doesn't give you a straight up answer. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a wise way to approach it, that there might not be a single answer, that you might have to accept
multiple things yes. at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Wisdom and the contradiction. Like, I love that. For me, that's just like underline and bold in italic, like stars, happy faces, hashtag. It's strong, you know, because that's what this feels like.
That's my rating. And I think that's the show.
That's,
yes.
That's the show.
Nice so, work, everybody.
Michelle, where can people find you online?
You can find me on my Instagram account. It's called Diary of a NY Artist, Diary of a New York Artist.
NY standing for New York.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever come across that acronym before.
Whatever.
Diary of any artist? Is that also?
Also true.
Oh my God,
yes,
it is. Yeah.
I also do Diary of any artist. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find our podcast on Twitter at sunschooldrop. And you can find me on Twitter at Lauren E. O'Neill. O'Neill spelled like Shaquille. Nico does not have a Twitter
or an
Instagram or anything.
Nope.
He's
Nico has nothing.
Guys.
I'm a ghost.
You can find our website at sundayschooldropouts.lol.
And you can send us email to contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol.
We want to thank Elise Carlton for our logo, as always. And also thank Nico for all of our original music and alls of our editing and sound engineering.
Oh, thank you, baby. Thank you for picking the wine tonight, of course.
It was all Michelle.
Always cold.
Big thank you to Michelle for being here.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back next week with more Bibble. Of course, we talk it all the different ways, as you know.
And all the time.
Mm-hmm. My name is Nico Bakulich.
I'm Lauren O'Neill.
And we will see you on Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.